Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that we wish to consider this morning is on that large white sheet that you have in your bulletins. It's Psalm 103. We sang it as our psalm, at least parts of it for our psalm this morning. But I want to take a little closer look at it. We've maybe heard this before. I sometimes will use it when I go to visit somebody in the hospital. We use it on a regular basis, fairly regular basis for one of the readings that we have on Thanksgiving. But a lot of times maybe we just gloss over it, don't really think about it, maybe as much as we should. That's the reason for focusing on it a little bit more this morning. I've got a book by a very dear friend of mine, Pastor Daniel M. Deutschlander. I don't know if you've ever come across this book from Northwestern Publishing House. I like the title. He said, the title is On Giving Advice to God. How do you think that goes over? When we give advice to God, and that's the whole point of this book. But anyway, in the back section, in one of the appendices, he's got, how many days? I know he's got at least three days where he spends time using this psalm to give thanks to God. And there's at least two or three pages per day, so that's at least six pages. But I like the very first paragraph that he has here as he's going through each section. And he says, if we would spend this whole day meditating on this psalm, we would but scratch the surface of the many reasons it gives to us to give thanks to God for all of his blessings. Nevertheless, let us on this special day do at least that. Scratch the surface of this beautiful hymn of praise that God himself has inspired with the many reasons in it that God gives us to be thankful. And I think that's appropriate for us today, too. But when we think about maybe some of the psalms or words of scripture that give us reason to thank God, which ones come to mind? Probably the first one, the familiar one, is, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You know where that comes from? Can you guess? It's from the Psalms. There are actually seven Psalms. Well, not actually seven Psalms. There are about five Psalms, but sometimes the psalmist repeats it, where he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever, or his mercy endures forever. Psalm 118 is one of them, and that's probably the most familiar one. That particular psalm, he says the words, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, three times. Psalm 177 says it five times. And then there's a couple other psalms where he says it just one time. Okay. Where does the psalmist say that in our psalm today? He doesn't say, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. What does he say instead?
Praise the Lord.
Do you know what that word is in Hebrew? You guys learned some Greek on Tuesday night. I didn't teach you any Hebrew that night. I should have.
Next time,
yeah. We'll do the Hebrew lesson next time. It's the familiar words, hallelujah. That's a Hebrew word. Hallelujah is a Hebrew word. It means praise the Lord. But he doesn't use that word here. He actually uses a word, a different word, that is more an action word. That we actually bow down and honor God with our worship. That's the word that the psalmist uses here. And he says, praise the Lord. How many times? how many times does he say that in this particular psalm? Go all the way through the psalm. How many can you count up? How many times does he call on us to praise the Lord?
Six.
You get there. Not enough yet. Got to go all the way to the end of the psalm. Unless my math is wrong. 11 times in this psalm, the psalmist calls on us to praise the Lord, to bow down in humble worship to God. And the sense is, in terms of giving thanks. So even though he doesn't use the words, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, certainly calls on us to do it more than just simply using our words, to go into action, to show him our thanks and our praise. And who does he call on us to praise and thank? The Lord. Why is that spelled in all capital letters?
Savior God.
Excellent. I was almost going to call you, Mary, but I figured you would probably be the first one to answer anyway, so I did that. Yes. I have drilled that into our Wednesday night Bible class, and when we've done it, a Sunday morning class, I try to encourage either Tony or Jeremy or Craig to highlight that name. It's not that all capital letters got stuck on the computer, okay, and they just misprinted it. That's a very special name and found only in the Old Testament. It is the name that God revealed to his people, especially, first of all, to Moses at the burning bush, when he says, go and deliver my people Israel from slavery in Egypt. And Moses complains and says, well, who am I to be doing that? Who should I say is telling me to do this? And the Lord says, I am has sent you. That's God's special name that shows he is eternally present and totally independent. And he is also the one who makes a promise. The promise. The promise to send a Savior. In fact, he makes it not just a promise, but a covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's a super strong promise that is never going to be broken. And that's what the people of Israel were to think when they heard that name, the Lord. That's our English. It's that special name of God that means Savior God, or the God of the covenant, the God of that promise to send the Savior that would not be broken. And certainly we know God did keep that promise, didn't he? In Jesus, the Christ, who came, suffered, died, rose again to be our Savior. So yes, this is the Savior God. And he's the one, obviously, then, to whom we are to sing our praises. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Praise the Lord. And not just with my words, but with my actions also. And who is to do this praising? Or what? What is to do the praising? My soul, he says. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Why do you think he uses that word? Why doesn't he just say my heart or my mind? Why does he say my soul?
It's like all your being.
Yeah. Every aspect of who you are and what you are like, let all of that gather together and give praise to God. honor, worship, and thank Him for all His benefits, all His blessings, all those things that you and I all too often take for granted. Remember the Old Testament lesson from it? What did Moses warn the people of Israel? When they went into the promised land, what would they find? Everything they needed. They didn't have to work for it. It would be so abundant, so profoundly rich in blessings, that it would just be overwhelming to them. In fact, the Lord had said, He was bringing them into a land flowing with milk and honey. Talk about the best things ever for an agricultural society like Israel was. That was the cream of the crop, so to speak, right? And that's exactly what they found when they entered the promised land. It was abundantly rich in blessings. But what did the Lord warn them? What did God warn them not to do? When they came into the promised land and found all this rich blessing, easy to forget. Yeah. Because when everything is going well for you, what did He warn the people of Israel to? Don't you go be patting yourself on the back for all those blessings, because that's not where they came from. Right? They came from Me, the Lord your God. Your Savior God did not forget you, or ignore you, or simply go on His way and enjoy all the great things that He has and does. No. No, He remembered you and blessed you so richly. Don't you go forgetting Him. And that's the thing that is the first thing on our list to do today. Forget not all His benefits. Because it's so easy for us to do. I think on Thanksgiving Day, we probably figure, well, you know, we should give thanks, right? Everybody asks what we're supposed to do. But I wonder sometimes, do people really think of thanking God for those blessings? Do we really remember that all these things came from God's bountiful hand? Well, I go to the store and get off the shop. Or I pay my bills because I got money in the bank account, because I went to work and I earned all that stuff. I did that. What did the Lord say in the Old Testament? Not by your hand, but my hand of blessing. So do not forget all His benefits. And then He talks about some of the very specific ones that all too often we tend to forget as well. Verse number 3, He says, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, verse 4, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Why do you think He puts that one at number one on the top of the list? He forgives all your sins. Did you remember today to thank God for forgiving all your sins? Is that the first thing you did? Was it?
No.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm going to have to go in the same camp as Nicole this morning. No, I didn't do that this morning.
I was thankful for waking up.
Yeah, or being able to actually put your feet on the floor and you know, not stumble around. That the house was halfway warm this morning, right? That you had something maybe to nibble on before coming to church. Having that coffee to wake you up and so on. Those were things that you probably were thankful for, even if you maybe didn't say it. But to forgive all of your sins? Sometimes that winds up being kind of left in the background too, doesn't it? We pray that the Lord's Prayer, forgive us all our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, but is it number one on our list? Oftentimes not. But it is the most important. And certainly David understood that. Why? Why would that be so important to David?
Do you agree with the sinner?
Do you remember how bad of a sinner he was? What did he do? Adultery and murder and denial of his sin to the point where finally God had to send in his prophet Nathan to call David to repentance. Stunning when he stops. And he's the one who's writing this. So top on his list, he could not get that out of his head. Top of his list was, you forgive all my sins. What a relief that is. Without that, all kinds of people may say it, probably won't matter one bit. To praising God or thanking God, but it's not going to make one bit of difference in your own heart and mind unless you already know that God has forgiven them all your sins. He heals all your diseases. This is why I use it as one of the passages in the hospital when people that are sick. Who's the one that's providing you with healing today when you're in the hospital? Doctors. Nurses, the pharmacists with all the medicines that they supply. Nope. Number one, the Lord, your Savior God, praise Him for that. He redeems your life from the pit. You ever been in a pit? Sure you have. There's been plenty of times when in our daily activities, in the circumstances in our lives, we would think of it as being a pit. What's the worst pit of all?
Hell.
He's redeemed you from that. Big number one. But also all the other pits that you may fall into along the way. Okay? That argument that you had with a friend or co-worker or a family member. The fact that you got behind in your work and now you got to quick try to make things up, or you know, and all kinds of things, troubles and problems and whatever, you could call them a pit into which you have fallen. And who provides the way out? No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you may bear up under it, says the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your life, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Satisfies your desires. Looking to the Lord, He does supply us with all that we need, even things that we ask for but maybe don't need. He provides us abundantly and renews your life like the eagles. And here's the thing, you can't see it in the English, but in verses 3, 4, and 5, there are six different things that the psalmist talks about. He forgives all your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life, crowns your life with love and compassion. Do you know you're wearing a crown right now? Did you look in the mirror this morning and see your crown? No, I didn't see it either. But what is the crown that God has put on your head? His love and His compassion. Where do you see His love the most? In your Savior Jesus. That's the crown that you wear on your head. You are a king and a queen in God's kingdom because of Jesus. And he satisfies your desires. You read into your... Each one of those six things, okay, are written in the Hebrew in such a way that it reminds us this is a quality or characteristic of God that he continues to do all the time. It's not just a spot thing or a momentary action. This is how God normally operates. He forgives your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life, crowns you, satisfies you, renews you. Do you have a reason to praise the Lord? Yeah. And the Lord works righteousness and justice for all of the oppressed. That's not just a political thing. That's more. His righteousness and justice, the fact that he has pardoned all our sins and supplies us with perfect righteousness in Christ our Savior, that's reason to praise the Lord. Why? Because he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. That's the other aspect of that name, the Lord. The people of Israel were to remember most of all when the Lord appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 34, and he preached a sermon to Moses. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, God slow to anger and abounding in love. That was God's sermon on his name, the Lord. I am a God of love and compassion, grace, and slow to anger. That's his characteristic action toward us. Why is that so important? Verses 9 to 12. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Forever. North and south. He can go to the North Pole, and as soon as he hit the North Pole, which direction are you turning? You're going south already. Can you go anywhere where it's not going west? Where will you finally get to the east when you go west? Or where how far can you go east before you hit the west? Remember? That's how far God has removed your sins. You see again why that's so important? The Lord, our compassionate and gracious Father. Picking that up, verses 13, 14, 15. Yeah. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, he flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, its place remembers it no more. You can't get any more powerful or dramatic as a reminder, a concrete, powerful, vivid picture in your head that a father or a mother having compassion for his or her children. That kind of love is what God supplies us who are dust. Amazing. Let us praise the Lord. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is for those who fear him, and his righteousness for their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts, who follow the Lord in their lives. Praise the Lord, you angels. Praise the Lord, you mighty ones. Praise the Lord, his heavenly hosts. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There's a reason why I put that little graphic on the slide there. Well, I got Thanksgiving. No. No. So that you do not forget all his benefits and praise the Lord today and always. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, saying, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.